Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Peter Thompson. We're starting on time, which is an excellent thing. I might say this is a very appropriate room in which to talk about disasters. In times past, this was the telegraph office of the GPO. And it was here, for instance, that news first spread outside Darwin on the 19th of February 1942 that the city had been bombed by the Japanese. This was the first point of contact, this room. After the bombing. But let's turn to more recent history. It's been a year where natural disasters have dominated the headlines. The Queensland floods, Cyclone Yasi, the two earthquakes in Christchurch, and worst of all, the earthquake and tsunami in Japan. In the world of crisis management, coping with disaster and cleanup is enough. What you want to avoid at all costs is what sometimes is called the second story. You don't want to become the second story. The second story is where, on top of the pain and human suffering caused by the disaster itself, some aspect of the response becomes a matter of deep dispute and consternation. And it's happened to the insurance industry's response to the floods. As we know, most house insurance policies don't cover floods. As we know, most Australians don't cover that information or don't carry that information around in their heads. And that became the second story, graphically portrayed in the media. The pricing, risk, mapping, mitigation, funding and insurance of floods is one of the most complex areas of public policy in the country, and indeed the world. Today's program looks at all of these knotty and complex problems. The Federal Attorney General, Robert McClellan, will speak shortly on setting the agenda. Before morning tea, we'll examine the international perspective of what's happening outside Australia. In the run to lunch, we'll canvass flood mitigation strategies and options. After lunch, we'll look at the availability and affordability of flood insurance, including flood mapping and flood pricing. And we'll conclude with a panel discussion on what has gone wrong and what should we do to fix it. So in the meantime, let me pass over to the formal welcome and introductory remarks from the two CEOs, Melinda Howes from the Institute of Actuaries of Australia and Robert Whelan from the Insurance Council of Australia.
Thanks, Peter, and good morning, everyone. Well, I think right now we have an opportunity to address a long-identified problem. As a nation, we've been putting our heads in the sand for a bit too long. Our exposure to flood and other natural disasters is not going to go away. In fact, it'll probably get worse. There will always be floods and cyclones and bushfires and earthquakes. Australia needs to prepare for and respond to these inevitable disasters. We need to align risk-taking with risk-funding. It's not sustainable to have under or uninsured people look to government after an event for funds. The insurance industry has copped a lot of flack. There are reports of people thinking they were covered when they weren't. Is it fair, though, to expect people to understand the finer points of flood coverage? For a lot of us, it's just water in my house, no matter how it got there. We've allowed people to build in flood zones. Governments have to recognise that they're partly responsible for that. The funding losses and the mitigation efforts need to be considered together. It's not sensible to allow people to build on floodplains and expect someone else to pick up the tab when the inevitable happens. We need better flood maps. We need all levels of government to work together. Today, this session's bringing together actuaries, engineers and dam experts, insurers and government, as well as consumer representatives and journalists. All of us need to work together to find solutions to educate the general public, which, as Peter just said, is a key issue. Everyone in this room, I think, wants what's best for Australia, and we welcome the fact that the federal government is taking on this complex challenge. Both the Attorney-General's Department, with its responsibility for national resilience, and Treasury, with its review of flood insurance. We're honoured to have the Attorney-General talk with us today, and also John Trowbridge, who's heading the Natural Disaster Insurance Review. The Institute has talked to both the Attorney-General's Department and John's panel about flood issues, and it's a pleasure working with policymakers who are receptive to expert input. The complexity of these issues means that specific expertise does need to be involved and the government has to consult. And we can also look to overseas precedents. Raed Musselin is going to run through some overseas flood plans, and the Institute has made a whole heap of information available on our website. We hope that today's seminar produces innovative ideas that will help government and the industry meet the challenge of mitigating and funding disasters. I'd like to thank Engineers Australia, the Australian and New Zealand Institute of Insurance and Finance, the Insurance Council of Australia, for being our supporting partners in this seminar. Let's take the opportunity to build relationships across professions. And now I'll hand over to Rob Whelan, CEO of the Insurance Council.
Well, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Melinda, and thanks to the Institute for putting this on today. Indeed, flood has always been a very vexed and complex issue for the general insurance industry, and I would also argue for governments as well. The devastation caused by floods, particularly riverine flood, is so great and widespread that the strength of our resources are certainly challenged in these sorts of circumstances. Lives have lost and communities have been destroyed, and we've seen this in Queensland and Victoria, and we're now seeing it on a global basis. The problem is not restricted to Australia, it's global, and we can see that actually happening now in the United States with the mighty Mississippi overflowing its banks and flooding again. So the issue is a global one. And in every region that the floods affect, we have a different system to be able to try and cope with it. And none of them, I guess, are entirely adequate because the problem is so great and so complex. In Australia, we have a mixture of private insurance coupled with government and public funding in the form of donations to be able to cope with this situation. In Australia, in the recent summer, we had over 118,000 claims for a cost of in excess of $3 billion to the insurance industry to cope with these disasters. And the government will have to provide further billions of dollars to be able to rebuild the infrastructure in Queensland and in Victoria. And, of course, the community has donated hundreds of millions of dollars on a compassionate basis to support communities that have been so badly affected. The question today, and for some months to come, I would imagine, is that how can we better manage our situation and our resources to better cope with these future events? The general insurance industry has provided what we believe is a reasonable plan for going forward. It's a 10-point plan, and it's a balance between what we see as essential industry reform, largely in and around consumer disclosure, but also what we also need to see in terms of government action in and around issues of land use, zoning, building standards, particularly mitigation works, and of course, increased flood data so that we can understand the potential risks that we face. What we propose is a productive partnership between industry and government so that we can better prepare and be more resilient as a community to these inevitable events. I encourage you to think hard about the issues today. We have a number of very notable speakers to take you through the issues, and I think the issue of raising the public debate around this, elevating it to a higher level to deal with better factual information, I think is crucial. So I again thank the Institute for organising this today, and enjoy your conference.